I'm honestly so shocked about how much I enjoyed Tom Selleck. Like, I cannot describe to you three and the listeners how much I enjoyed Tom Selleck.
I think you are about on par with my mum for Tom Selleck enthusiasm.
Well,
yeah, she's like, look how long his legs are.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
I think penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Earl Grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete Series. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and then the very last episode of that TV series and just try and figure out what happened. My name's Morgan and joining me on this adventure is my good friend Jerome Wiseman. Jeremy, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Morgan.
I got it the other way around then accidentally. I normally call you Jeremy and then I call you Jerome.
Yes.
What is it actually?
Nobody knows.
Scholars have for years tried to uncover the secrets.
And they haven't yet?
No. Okay. It's all my mum wrote it in hieroglyphics. Kind of like
this is just a drawing
Elon
of you?
Musk's son.
All right.
XZ1283 triangle.
Yep.
Infinity
symbol. Like that.
Great.
Speaking of hard spelling, Abe, how are you? Aaron?
We spell that one, Mox.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you're a man that's your name's Aaron, and it's a different sort of spelling of Aaron. And
it
I know you've suffered a lot of just variations of your name on there.
I'll get it right one day. I'll keep winning them just so they get it right.
Exactly.
That's what motivates me.
You're a real champion. and Scott, how are you?
I'm well. I just came back from shanking around a golf, so I'm not super happy about that.
I was going to say, I was wondering why you had two beers open.
It's a tough day. It's a tough day.
You need two beers to get through that.
We can play golf, though. So that's a fun thing.
This is true. It's
in
nice.
In this day and age.
I mean, it's one of the few things you can do.
Mm. Well, not me, because I'm not very good at it.
No. But in theory.
In theory.
Theoretically, you
I'm
could,
very
yeah,
good
could
at
be
golf.
Done. I tell you what I'm good at. Drinking two beers at the same time.
Ew, there we go.
He's feeling good all the time. That's good stuff. So this is exciting. We had a user review come through for this one. A user suggestion for this episode.
Maybe they'll review it as well. See how hopefully it did with their suggestion.
And we did Magnum PI.
Yes, I believe it was Paul who sent that in.
Paul.
I believe it was Paul.
We actually
I can't be sure. I can't be sure because I can't find the email, but
he's
I'm
a guy.
Pretty sure it was someone
thank
named
you.
Paul.
Whoever you are, thank you. Listen to Paul, thank you.
If your name's not Paul,
we apologize.
Write in and tell us what your actual name is.
Please do. Now, I was pretty excited to be doing this episode, and I got to say, it delivered in a few ways. Aaron, what did you know about Magnum PI going into this one?
Just Tom Selleck's moustache. I mean, that's all you really need to know.
That's true.
He's a man's man. He's a man's man's man.
His fame transcended the show.
Yeah, it did.
Magnum PI was the show that he was in. He wasn't the guy in Magnum PI, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well,
this is a real metaphysical argument you've got going on.
I'm trying to figure out based on that, like, what will be on his tombstone.
Magnum PI or Tom Selleck? Or we'll just have a mustache on the thing.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
tombstone yeah. of Magnum PI, the show.
Yeah, we'll say
Tom Selleck's Magnum PI.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Tom Selleck's Magnum PI.
They change it to that after season one.
Tom Selleck's Magnum PI.
And then season three, it was Tom Selleck presents Magnum PI. That's why in the last episode, he does that little sort of
post-credit scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good night.
That is interesting. You don't get that a lot. No. We've had it
with good reason.
We'll get to that when we talk about the last episode. Was that a bit of a Roseanne moment? Went to think that it was all
you
just him watching his own.
He's outside of the show.
Yeah.
What it threw me to was more when we did Hercules, and there's that one scene in Hercules with Aeolus, how like he runs and then Hercules turns to the camera.
Folks,
my partner.
And then it's like, is that what we're doing
now? Did he know that we were watching him the entire time? I mean, Selleck, I can buy it. Hercules, no. But
can buy him?
No, I could buy that Selleck's actually watching us all.
You can't Hercules, buy can't. Kevin Sorbo.
No.
What do you reckon Kevin Sorbo's price would be?
Just to have him?
Yeah.
At peak Hercules?
No, well, now.
Now? Yeah. Well, I was going to say peak Hercules, 100 grand, but now you're getting probably 10 cents on the dollar.
For how long? For a night?
No, just like...
A night with Kevin Sorbo?
You're mine now. I own you.
It's like a slave.
No. I didn't say the S word.
Well, they're your words, not
just
Jeremy's.
Kind of like monetary adoption. Like I'm not going to force him to work. He's going to live a good life. Like a pet.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Maybe a fetish.
Adopt a Sorbo.
$12,000?
Look, probably. I mean, he's going to...
We'd start the bidding at $12,000.
I reckon you get higher than that. He's in enough B movies now to be generating at least a middling salary. So... Mm.
because you couldn't buy.
Are
Selleck.
You looking up Kevin Sorbo net worth? Do it. Oh, I'm actually intrigued by this.
Then you also have to like register him and like desex him and.
Oh, this is getting weird. It's nothing.
Jez, you got to look up Kevin Sorbo.
10 million.
Yeah, he hasn't got time for me.
No. No. That's how much money he has. You got to look up Kevin Sorbo RRP.
Okay, right.
And then see if there's a discount, and then you
buy.
Let's
go to SorboStore.net.
You be careful.
You'll get one of those. Get one of those dodgy knockoff Sorbos.
You know what that.
This off is brand like, or fall apart in a few weeks.
You've got to be careful here, Jez, because this is like that time we were arguing with those people at the work bar about double fisting and its meaning.
You looked
it up, and we were, let's just say we were right.
And you don't work there anymore.
I proved him right.
Not for some time.
It doesn't mean what they thought of it.
No, it does not.
It means something far, far grosser.
But anyway, back to Magnum P.I. Scott, what did you know about Magnum P.I.?
Selleck was about to do some double fisting in that first episode.
Actually, I'm not even going to ask these questions anymore. Let's just get straight into this.
Yeah.
I think what we all knew was pretty much the same thing.
Yeah,
Sorry, that's fair.
It's mustache and I thought he had a gun, but I don't think he actually has a gun.
Maybe in some episodes.
I think it's because his name's Magnum.
It's more of a tape recorder / lockpick combo.
Yeah, he's a bit more MacGyver. 1-2
punch.
Than that.
And tiny shorts.
He really,
a big barrel chest.
If he's not,
he's broad.
He's a big man, and he either wears incredibly tight pants with a shirt tucked in, like a nice loose fitting Hawaiian shirt tucked in, or incredibly small tight shorts.
Yep.
Which are now fashionable again.
Yeah.
With a shirt tucked
in.
The
whole thing is fashionable again.
Yeah.
I was just looking at him wishing
he would
to dress up as him for a costume party.
I'm going to actually point this out.
All life every day.
Now.
How tall are you, Aaron?
I was going to say, here we go. Aaron, I really feel like...
It's my destiny.
Well, you're the only one of us that can...
Physically,
come close.
You are the most similar to Sally.
You go another inch, you'll be good.
How tall is Sally?
I think 6'4".
6'4".
Yeah, I'm 6'4".
Okay, 6'4". Yeah. You got curly hair. You could get a little bit of that wavy action back.
How short are your shorts?
That's where I fall down. Yeah. They could be shorter. They could always be shorter.
Exactly. We're not looking for any
better shorts. It's a work in progress.
Is that your 1979 Ferrari parked out the front?
No, but I can steal it.
Worth 60,000 American dollars in 1980?
I mean, we've all been delving into new projects in this COVID lockdown. Mine will be becoming Tom Selleck.
Do you reckon you could get your hair to go like that?
I want to find out if I can.
Yeah,
I need to know that about myself.
Can you actually put? Can we? Like, I know this is actually not a joke. This is actually
let's
serious.
Let's make it happen. Like,
you could seriously do it. I feel like you'd be just doing yourself a disservice if you didn't.
Exactly.
Try.
I am your canvas. Paint your Tom Selleck on me.
Exactly. And then since we'll branch out from there. Where do the rest of us fit in? I mean, who's Higgins? Who's TC?
I mean, I feel like Morgs and Jez, you guys can be the bikini babes.
Yeah,
perfect.
You want to be the two Rottweilers?
And, I figured I'd be the
Scott Higgins.
Yes,
I'll be the Dobermans.
Scott can be Higgins.
Scott, you're Higgins.
Oh, I'm going to be Higgins.
Okay. Yeah, you have very high shorts.
I got a bit
and
of
a riding crop.
I got a bit of Rick about me. Nice.
A bit of Rick's about you.
Yeah, I'm a real useless piece of shit.
I guess I'm TC then. I'm a pilot.
You can fly a plane.
Exactly.
All right, let's start explaining who all these people are and get into the first
episode.
They're
all just different versions of Tom Selleck.
This 1980s staple begins with a dripping wet Thomas Magnum emerging from the waves to inform us of what he's been up to since the end of the Vietnam War.
Take this morning, I'm breaking into Robin Masters' estate. You know, the writer, one with all those bestsellers. So, why am I breaking in? Well, I made a deal with Robin to run a series of security checks in exchange for living free in the guest house.
So with some company and a place to stay, he can get up to all the private investigating his heart desires. After discovering his old war buddy and now Navy Lieutenant Dan Cook has died from bags of cocaine exploding in his stomach, he tries to clear his name.
Dan Cook was in Tokyo on a Navy investigation not to smuggle.
Erstwhile, two goons are on his tail and trying to get in his way. The two-parter ends with a high-speed chase on Oahu's only major highway, one of the two goons dead, and Tom with few clues to solve the case.
All right, so 90 seconds into this show, he's swimming out of the water, tiny shorts, there's two dogs in it, I'm 100% in on the show. I am so in.
It was a real James Bond opening.
So what
think that's what they're trying to go for?
Island
a
Bond?
A
70s James Bond?
I think so. But what is he?
Well, he's ex-Navy. Now he's a man. Security advisor to...
Advisor. Not yeah. even... So he lives at that house rent-free mm-hmm. to advise, to try and break in once.
Every now and again.
It's like, all right, that's I've done
he's
my
like
job.
He's like a pen tester. You know, like penetration testing. You're trying like... Mm. Companies hire you to get into your company.
Okay.
Mm. Except one company
they do it one time.
Hires you once and then you live there forever.
And then it's over in 5 minutes and then you're just set for life.
And also kind of get to keep the car.
Mm. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean we're going to talk deal. About. So, who was the writer again? What's his name?
Robin Masters.
Masters,
which was voiced by Orson Welles. Apparently, there's 5 episodes where his voice is heard. Yeah,
interesting.
So he must be kind of like security, but he's also doing a bit of a side hustle where he's a private investigator.
Yeah, yeah, he's just like working out of that because that's his office.
Robin Masters apparently goes there once or twice a year. So he doesn't. The place doesn't need to be. It needs to be secure. They got Higgins and the dogs looking after it. He just needs to be around. Mm. So, you know, you can do other stuff while you're there.
But that intro was really popping. Oh, like, that had me in, and he had the voiceover going. I was hooked.
Absolutely. I like the narrative. I do like a bit of narrative action. Mm.
If you're wondering how I could be so sure the combination was the phone number, if it wasn't, Higgins would have won. And fate just wouldn't do that to me.
The voiceover was very poorly done, I thought. There was one where it filters back in when he's driving in the Ferrari to just fill in a few plot holes.
Despite what Ensign Healy said, Dan's death had to be connected to some case he was investigating.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. I just like Tom Selleck.
Or just opener, basically to set up the next scene without having to have a
the
scene.
The opener was good, but where they used it later on in the episode was a little bit...
It was clunky, yeah.
Where it's like, I need to...
Like, oh, we're still doing this? We're still doing the voiceover?
Yeah. But he's incredibly charismatic.
Selleck.
Oh. He's a great leading man.
He's like... Oh. Did you get... Baywatch Nights vibes watching this.
Like he's good Baywatch
I think,
Nights.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like because Tom Selleck is just early David Hasselhoff.
I was going to say, did you guys also find Tom Selleck absolutely delightful this entire show?
Yeah.
Even the last episode, which was garbage.
He's more charismatic than Hasselhoff.
He's better.
Well, he's more understated charisma.
He is, and their careers have run pretty.
He's got the rugged handsomeness.
Pretty parallel, but he's way more. But he's way more relatable and approachable. And from what I read in the show. So, yeah, as you were talking about, Jez, with this meant to be like a James Bondy style show.
That's Scott, but yeah.
Scott. Anyway, that was what it was meant to be. Like, he was meant to be like a... Mm. There was a little bit of a flaw with this, but I'll get to that in a second. Mm. That it was meant to be sort of James Bondy and he's like, you know, has a way with all the women and stuff like that. But Selleck apparently didn't want that. Like, he wanted Magnum to be a little bit more approachable, a little bit more of the everyman.
Mm.
Having said that, like the guy's so magnetic and handsome, I think people just kind of were like into him the entire time anyway. You can't help but be really drawn to him.
But then why, if that's how he wanted it to play out, why in the first episode does he just immediately sort of wrap his arms around two women and then they insinuate that they're going to have a threesome and he starts snooping on them when they're in there?
Well, that's him being the everyman.
Yeah, everyman, getting
the binoculars out, having a squiz.
Having a little pocket wank while he's on hold.
Lieutenant Cook's quarters.
You're going to send me up the airport, old buddy.
That scene was pretty funny. So he's trying to work out what happened to his friend and he's calling the naval base. And while he's on hold, he's kind of like in his apartment, he's got a kind of split level.
Mm.
And you go downstairs to get into the main living area and he's sort of bouncing between the raised platform and down the bottom to like get his... Keeps the phone up there and then he dangles it over the railing and then runs down and grabs like a beer and some binoculars and then runs back up and keeps checking if they're still on hold.
Insanely.
And he's trying to like juggle a beer and have the phone receiver under like one pin between his shoulder and his ear. Mm. And then he's got the binoculars as well.
And then just insanely jaunty music.
Yeah.
Hello?
It was just absurd.
Every single time a woman turns up in this show, there's a little bit of like jaunty soft sax.
Yeah. Here we go.
Another love interest.
The best one, hands down though, was when his friend who's murdered, his younger sister flies and she's drunk as and she's with that guy she's sitting next to.
Yeah.
When that guy walks in and then sees Tom Selleck.
I was going to get her bags. I didn't know her boyfriend was meeting her.
You look terrific. Doesn't he look terrific?
Terrific and big, too.
It just reminded me of Arrested Development when with Portia de Rossi. And the guy's like, I'll give you $2,000 to touch me right now. Oh, my husband's here. You're married to Carl Weathers. the seat now. You woke up. Oh, you're married to Tom Selleck?
Yeah, it was just struck down in fear. I didn't know he
didn't know his boyfriend so large. Was yeah. Like, you would be terrified. Holy shit, yeah. This guy's going to crush my skull with these bare hands. Because he's the ultimate man. That
bare guy. Hands or bare hands?
Bare hands.
Bare hands.
Bare hands. Why not both? He actually has bare hands. It's like this, you can crush gravel with those things. Gravel?
Gravel's already pretty crushed.
Yeah, it's already pretty crushed.
Crushing into gravel. Point.
Next question. So can we talk about...
how good it is to watch Tom Selleck drive around in a convertible Ferrari?
I was actually... Well, that wasn't what I was going to say, but that actually was
If that episode
great.
Was just a 45-minute montage of him just streaming down Hawaiian highways, moustache to the wind.
I'd be him. I was
just soaking
in
rays.
I was in. I really
be all about that. Running errands, just like going to pick up his dry cleaning. You know, just grab a couple Selleck's, of things from the supermarket. Yeah.
Tom Selleck's dash cam.
Yeah.
I'm shocked at how much I enjoyed this, and a lot of it was just what you've described. And I was like, this is great. I like watching Tom Selleck.
Speaking of him driving, where those two guys are chasing him down, he's in like there's like a car chase that goes for quite a while. He's in that $60,000 Ferrari. They're in a rusted out heap of shit that doesn't even have lights.
Yes.
How are they keeping pace with him?
About the time my heart started again, I realized whoever was on my tail didn't have enough car to catch me. So I started worrying about wrecking the Ferrari.
He even says like, something right, to
I
that
gotta,
effect.
I got to blow these guys out of the water.
Yeah,
and they just keep pace with him.
He's like, once I realized that their car couldn't keep up with mine, then I knew I had to step on the gas.
And then 3 minutes later, they're still right like bumper to bumper.
They're chasing him.
Well, he went under the freeway and they're like, oh, we'll catch up at the next ramp. And why don't you just change lanes and get on and follow him at this ramp? He's definitely going to get away.
Nobody's ever caught anybody by getting on the next ramp.
No, exactly. That's insane. What are you going to, like, you know, what do you got, a helicopter up there? You're following him?
Rather than just kind of tailing him, they tail him for 5 minutes and like, all right, let's bust out the gun in the
full
highway.
On, full on crack. Machine gun.
See how we go.
Just on like Hawaii, on Oahu's one highway and they're just raining bullets.
Horribly raining bullets. Missing everything.
What would you call so his friend who got killed by those two thugs, they pick him up, gets killed by getting punched in the stomach and he's got a whole lot of cocaine.
Yeah, that's weird. They kind of like put the cocaine in his stomach and then punch him real hard.
Exactly. It's a party in your stomach.
Yeah.
Party too hard.
What a way to go.
Because I thought it was weird at the time when I thought that, you know, he was just getting roughed up and Tom Selleck would eventually come pick him up or they'd get to the hospital.
And they punch him in the stomach and now he's dead.
They act punch like the they're stomach. There to pick him up and then they drive him to, you know, some abandoned lot and just punch him really hard in the stomach and then it just cuts to another scene.
Found the cause of death yet?
Massive pulmonary edema and cyanosis probably induced by cocaine.
And then he's dead?
That's what I thought. I'm like, dead? Oh, well, no, he's going to find him at the hospital. But no, he had died.
He died.
From party stomach.
There was a bit of dialogue there.
Terminal case of party stomach.
There's a classic case of party stomach.
So there's some guy under the Admiral who's like... also friends with Tom Selleck.
Oh, that blonde dude?
The blonde dude. Yeah.
He's LSU quarterback who's really more of a bud, but let's...
he's a huge bud.
I mean, everyone's a bud to Tom Selleck.
Yeah, exactly.
He's budding the entire human race.
he was like, when they're in the autopsy room, he's like, is there any way that we can kind of, you know, not release all the truth to the Admiral so he doesn't have to know that his son was a drug mule?
Yeah.
And then the mortician is like...
It could be done, Captain. Unless Admiral Cook pushed for more information, we could release it as an accidental overdose, which, of course, it was.
Maybe. I've got these ideas. I'm like, wait, this is not your... That's not your job. You should be...
I've covered up
causes
of death before.
No,
I'm your man.
He's like the Navy mortician. He's... I don't know. That was very strange.
One little moment I absolutely loved was when Tom Selleck went to pick up his friend, and when he pulled into the airport, he was still wearing the tiny shorts.
Yeah.
So he gets out of the car and has to put on his jeans in the airport.
As he's
carver.
Walking over
the top of them.
Vintage Selleck.
When he goes, what about when he goes to confront the naval captain at the base?
Excuse me.
What's this crap about Dan Cook smuggling coke?
Sorry, sir. He never said.
It's all right. It's all right.
Just a civilian walks in, storms into the captain, like the commanding officer's entire office. I was like,
I just get shot.
We've got a note here saying, geez, it's incredibly easy to move around American military bases in the early 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess maybe if you're Tom Selleck, you can kind of go.
I guess
you want,
the other thing is because he paid off the... Well, he didn't pay off, but he knew the guy who was at the the security
true,
booth.
True. Mm.
And he's like, is there any way you can get me around the back? And he's like, yeah, you just use its pass.
Wasn't that at the airport?
That was at the start, but I'm assuming
he does it everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. He's got somebody, because he was in the Navy, he knows all the guys and they all love him because he's Tom Selleck.
Yeah. Or maybe you can just do that to anyone he meets.
True.
Sort of immediately, like they're like, oh, I'm Magnum.
Yeah. If he came to my work and was like, you reckon you can just open this door for me? I'm like, yeah,
absolutely.
Kind of like a Darren.
anything for you, Magnum.
So like a Darren Brown sort of thing. Like he's so convincing and he just keeps your eye contact. He's like, oh, yeah. We know each other. And then.
Okay. Maybe it's a bit of like moustache hypnotism.
Yeah.
Kind of like wiggles it, does like spinning around. The little look into my moustache.
Was it like Bewitched where she wiggles the nose, but he's doing his moustache?
The other thing I want to mention about the driving scene was after the other rust bucket car goes off the edge, explodes, and all this like fire, and then Tom Selleck's like, whoa.
It'd take all night to explain to 5-0 why a couple of yo-yos with a machine gun tried to kill me. Especially since I didn't know. And since there was nothing I could do for them, I decided to do the best thing for me. Get the hell out of there.
I mean, I guess this is okay because you're Tom Selleck, but I really feel like you shouldn't just bail.
Yeah, at this point you think two men have died.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Better flee the scene.
Yeah.
Better flee the scene.
I'm assuming maybe he's, you know, I don't know how long he's been a PI for, but obviously he's come across this sort of stuff before because he was a Green Beret.
Well, that's the thing. He's a PI, but he has no real investigative skills or background per se. Mm. I mean, he was a Green Beret. He was military.
But I'm assuming that Vietnam was, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe even less.
Well, when did the Vietnam War? In mid-70s?
Yeah. So it could only have been 7 years ago.
And he's meant to be late 30s, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I reckon. Mm. So I reckon he's probably, you know, they were flashbacks about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that he's a PI novice.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm. Oh, you don't think he's been kind of doing it for the last 10 years?
Well, I feel like he was also like in the Navy. Just like hanging out like those guys in the Navy before he left.
Yeah, Navy stuff.
I reckon he left the Navy pretty recently.
Okay.
That's where we're
I got that vibe.
Everyone still knows him. It's still relevant.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Mm. Can we talk about the elephant in the room?
Okay.
Yes,
this
please.
Is a Donald P. Belisario
yes!
show.
Oh, I forgot to. Oh, I can't
believe
it's been
so
that.
Long since yeah. we've since we've.
He always
since Airwolf.
He always comes back. He always finds a way back.
Co-creator.
Yeah,
and you could tell. You could tell the early Navy scenes. Come on,
he loves it.
I understand, sir, that the medical examiners here got all the tough cases from Vietnam, the ones they couldn't identify through dog tags and dental records. You know, they put a name on everybody, every single one. Probably the first time in history of warfare every KIA has been identified.
He loves it.
He loves, like, not being in the Navy, but just being, like, around. You were in it at one stage.
you can tell.
That's why he had the same formula, except a rich man's version of a harm in Selleck, and then it had a bud in that LSU quarterback guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same basic formula.
Different bud every episode.
This is our fourth Belisario show.
Is it really?
Yeah, so what have we done? Bangers.
Airwolf, this... obviously, Jag.
Yep.
And
Quantum Leap. Which is by far the best. Let's not even.
Yeah, for sure.
I would agree. Yeah, yeah. That's
he really hit it out of the park.
That's his Shawshank Redemption right there.
So Citizen Kane.
So the glaring omission is NCIS.
Yeah. Oh, we're not doing that.
Is that still going?
I'm pretty sure it's still going.
Yeah, still going.
God, I have no interest in doing NCIS.
No,
it would be pretty hard.
I think, well, how many seasons? That's got so many seasons.
Yeah, it's been going
so popular. Which I don't understand because...
Sooner do Good Morning America.
It's just about to go into its 18th.
That was Belisario as well.
Not a lot of people know.
Is Mark Harmon still in it? Mark Harmon.
Yes.
Mm.
Now, I feel like we also need to talk about the other elephant in the room, which was by far the most outstanding moment. The ice cream thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
So the two guys...
Oh, the bad guys, they chase him.
The two bad guys that are like hunting down Selleck... They're watching him. He's out on a pier and they're watching him talking to Captain Cooley in a phone booth.
Mm.
So one of them's on the phone. He's like, yeah, we're going to get him. And his mate behind him
is eating an ice cream
that's dripping all over his hand. and then he turns around and he's just like...
You're making a mess. Look at that.
And then he like wipes his cheek.
Wipes someone off his face. Yeah.
Yeah, that was
And then the guy just chucks it on the ground.
No. He throws it like into another car, into a convertible car. And
I thought he threw it on the ground
Tom
behind
Selleck,
him.
does almost the exact same thing, like 1 minute earlier, where they're watching him. He's on the dock, and there's all the boats there, and he's drinking a beer, and he just throws an empty.
No, there's a bin. There's a bin.
Is there? Okay, yeah, I thought he just threw it into a boat.
I was watching keenly because I'm like, surely they're not just
throwing him into
advocating
boats.
Blatant littering.
Yeah, but those bad guys, they're throwing ice creams about. But it was have a really intimate relationship.
Very tender moment.
Yeah,
but it's also
the first episode though, like.
That's
and then,
right,
and then the other
guys.
Guy, and then one the of them dies.
Exactly, you're not going to see them again. That's something that like.
But
really
you've got to build up the obviously the emotional gut punch when one of them dies in a fire inferno. Well, 5 minutes later,
maybe the second part of this
that
episode,
one little gesture shows like how much backstory there is between those two henchmen.
Yeah, so maybe the second part of this episode was just like 40 minutes of that. The surviving henchman just grieving over
drinking
his
himself
lost
to
buddy,
death.
Just eating ice creams to death.
My ice cream boy.
Look, I got all these sticky hands. No one to clean them up for me. Fuck, that was weird.
What a weird moment.
That was such a strange moment.
It was hilarious.
I'm glad you brought it back up.
Do you think it's just like, you think it's something that actor just brought in? He was just like, he got an ice cream on break.
Yeah, he's like, oh, we're going. Oh, shit, we're rolling.
Okay. All right, I'll just work with it, I guess.
I was going to say, it's melting so much because they're in fucking Hawaii. It's hot as shit. They've taken like 8 takes and it's like, that's the best one. We've got to use it.
We're out of ice cream.
The ice cream's melted. And after he threw the ice cream into the car, so they definitely can't use it.
He knew he nailed the scene. Right. He's like, yep, we're
got
done.
There we go.
This is the one.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was... But yeah, there's no way.
You're right. That's the real elephant.
Selleck's not littering. No way.
No.
Oh, man. All right. Well, look, I think we'll put a pin in it there for episode one or the pilot, and let's move into the finale.
In the finale, Magnum's got a lot on his plate. He's trying to catch his ex-girlfriend Stalker. He's helping plan a wedding for his buddy Rick and getting into all-in brawls at strip clubs. He's resigning from his security job with Higgins and rejoining the Navy. He's getting reacquainted with his estranged grandfather. And he gets reunited with his daughter shortly after being told she was dead.
Please take care of her and of you. I always loved you, Michelle.
The episode wraps up with Magnum getting to the wedding just in time after a knife fight with his ex's stalker, and we end on a freeze frame of the groom stuck on the first half of a minute-long attempt at saying, I do.
I do. I do.
I...
That ending is... Belisario sure can... Holy shit.
Well, I mean, he's got it.
That was trash.
The range. So you've got the Quantum Leap ending finale.
What a weird cliffhanger, though.
Yeah. And then you got the coin flip.
The cliffhanger in this one, though, is whether or not his friend, who we don't really care about, actually goes through with marrying his wife.
But I want to talk about the opening credits. Just absolutely batting 1,000. Those things were out of control. That was
great song.
So good. I was just like, I got so excited for the finale when they came on.
You just want 45 minutes of that.
Oh, it's just montage. Like, it's just such a good montage. Oh,
best
so
of,
good.
Best of Selleck.
Oh, man. But like, I do, I always love... Every time we do an early shows, I always really focus on the credits because I just love seeing old show credits because times have changed. We don't get credits like that anymore.
You really don't.
Not anymore.
They're so afraid of the cheese.
Exactly. They shouldn't be, though. You should embrace it.
Become so lactose intolerant.
You've also got to really hand it to Selleck, and in a lot of ways because... At no point, I mean, he's that mustache. He's not parted ways with that ever.
No, and this is 8 years later.
He is almost a character in its own right.
Has he ever been without it? I can't.
I think he's still got it now. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he does.
Can you imagine having a mustache for probably like, if he shaved it, would you even recognize him? Probably not.
I feel like
it's probably Hasselhoff. Probably the same guy.
I feel like there was an episode because he's in a story arc in Friends.
Yeah,
he plays a love
interest. I think there's an episode
Cox.
Where he shaves it, right?
Oh, like that's a whole episode.
Jess has got
just 20 minutes of him slowly shaving his moustache.
Jess has got a photo up of him without the moustache.
I don't think
is
I
it real
want,
or is it CGI?
I don't think I want to see
it's
it.
CGI.
This is the one I want instead.
I mean, we spoke about having to black bar Sandy Cohen's eyebrows because it was too explicit. I feel like if he shaves, Tom Selleck shaves his moustache, you need to black bar that. I don't want to see what's under there.
I reckon the chest hair is almost worthy of a black bar. In the first episode.
Pretty...
When the scene we're talking about when he's down at the docks drinking a beer, trying to get some info out of the guy in the Navy. Mm. And he's got this kind of Hawaiian shirt unbuttoned.
Oh, yeah.
Basically all the way down.
Belly button level.
All, that's,
what a costume.
It's Austin Powers chest hair bursting through.
Surely pushes it at least to an M rating.
Yeah.
Also, this show, I don't know whether I know Tom Selleck's a big man, but is everyone else just really small? like Higgins is tiny. Like
it's Higgins, in his contract.
Higgins is 5'5". Like, he's not a big man.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
he will only act opposite people who are below 5'5".
But everyone else, like, it just look. It's almost like it's like that like perspective camera. Like, everyone just looks so small. Everyone looks, far away.
Lord of the Rings vibe. What?
Peter Jackson technique.
It's bizarre. I wonder, do you reckon Selleck, could Selleck have been in Lord of the Rings? Who would Selleck? Everyone? Or
probably
just
the Balrog.
The Balrog.
I mean, the first thought is Aragorn, but
I'd
like to see him as Gandalf.
No giant white beard, just the moustache. Boom. Done. Selleck could play it. He could also play Frodo. Why not? Do it all.
Perspective.
Turns out the hobbits were huge.
Okay, let's talk about the bar fight. Mm.
How many minutes?
The only enjoyable
I didn't
part.
Clock it, but it's probably like four or five minutes.
It's long. Mm.
Cleo is a wonderful woman.
Hey, guy. You know Cleo? She's the hottest number in town.
That does it. Nobody talks about my fiancé that way. Nobody.
Why, you little pissant.
I do like how Higgins is not... I mean, he's ex-military, not afraid to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think...
He's lost it, though.
Oh, well, he's... like, compared to all these guys that they're fighting, the main guy they're fighting is...
Huge.
Seems to be... He seems he cannot be stopped.
Yeah, Selleck, they do that shtick of the classic punch the giant guy in the face and he doesn't feel anything. And then they kind of back away.
Yeah.
Every single character does that to him at least once and they all have the same reaction.
Oh, what the hell? I think we're in trouble.
Perhaps I should handle this.
Selleck's the same. The guy's meant to be huge, but Selleck is bigger than him. Hits him square in the jaw, doesn't flinch. I'm like, I think Selleck's fist would break his jaw off.
Mm.
He is. Anyway, Higgins, do you think Higgins, when he hits him in the chair. He's glassing everyone.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he's not putting his fist up doing much.
Yeah.
There you go. Do you think they were ad-libbed or do you think that they were written in?
I think he ad-libbed the first one and then they decided to go with it.
They were just like, what are you doing?
I don't know. He's meant to be a respectable military man. That's not how they would have taught you to fight.
I think a real guerrilla fighter.
The British Army in the 40s.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, I can picture the
big in the high yards.
The bottles I can understand, but the high yards is where I'm...
That's where he gets all his power.
I don't know.
Exactly.
That's what they teach you in karate.
He glasses what? Four guys?
Oh, yeah.
He's a real dirtbag.
It's pretty brutal.
Wouldn't be out of place Saturday night in Frankston.
Nah, not a chance. Just getting it. But he gets it done.
It's like that Auntie Donna sketch where they're all just a night out in Melbourne. They're just.
Everyone's
you know, I don't know.
I've seen that one.
You'll have to watch it.
It's Higgins. Higgins all over.
Let's also talk about after Selleck learns that his daughter... So he has a daughter,
like a five-year-old French girl.
I don't understand.
French Vietnamese.
Yeah. I mean, he could probably get someone pregnant by looking at them, to be honest. But after he kind of is told that she's dead, he does the old Bill Murray from Moonrise Kingdom and just cuts down a tree.
Hope I didn't catch you at a bad time.
I've been meaning to get to this tree for a long time.
That's how real men grieve.
Well, yeah, that's how real men grieve. And then the old mate, the great grandfather shows up and he's shirtless, just hacking apart this.
Well, he's in a singlet.
Is he? I thought he was shirtless. Yeah.
He's drenched in sweat.
Okay. Maybe I'll just see what I want to say.
Mm. Really? But, just chopping a palm tree to little bits.
Yeah, he's literally pulverizing it.
Yeah, so what's the deal with his daughter?
Last on Magnum.
Dear Thomas, as I write this letter, I pray to God that you will never read it. For if you do, it means that something has happened to separate me from Lily forever. But if that should happen, it is imperative that she be reunited with her father. You are that man, Thomas. I think you always knew you were.
So, had his daughter in Vietnam?
Well,
as part of, there was like a French colony
she
there.
She was only like 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah, but I don't know. She's got to be, like, she speaks Vietnamese and French, right?
Which would make sense in Vietnam. I reckon it was a fling that he had when he was there, and they get reunited. She comes to the island maybe halfway through the run of the show. Mm. And then something happens there. Because you're right. Back. She's meant to be like 5 or 6, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No older than that, for sure.
I was really hoping for like a Rambo style, or even a crossover with Selleck and Rambo.
We just pregnant like the whole village.
First Blood Part 2, they need to go and rescue. So it's like all the POWs that Rambo's going to rescue and Selleck's daughter, tag team, go in there.
Selleck and Rambo. Oh, man, I'd watch that.
Oh, yeah.
I would watch that.
That's like the next... what's that franchise of movies?
The Expendables.
Expendables.
Yeah, but just those two.
Just
is
those
he two. In, I reckon he's in the Expendables.
He might be.
He should be.
Tom.
No,
I don't think he is.
He's not expendable. Selleck.
No, we need him. We need him. with that reboot, the Rambo Magnum reboot. Mm-hmm. You know, Stallone's only like 5'9".
So he would tower over him.
Yeah, it can be like Stallone's his little sidekick.
Exactly.
He's his new Higgins.
I recently watched Cobra. It's a cop movie, the Stallone cop movie from the 80s.
Mm.
Where like he's protecting the supermodel from some serial killer gang. And the love interest is Bridget Nielsen, who's 6'1", and it's just really weird.
Oh, that is.
She's so much taller than Stallone. Like, yeah. So much taller.
But they don't try and like chock him up.
Nah, nothing. They just let it ride.
Like, this is what it is.
But like, I respect that. You know, it's like Tom Cruise wouldn't.
Tom Cruise, no way.
It wouldn't play out that way with Tom Cruise. No, he'd be on lifts.
He gets a miniature person.
It's like Wayne in Spike Wayne's Sierra. World and what's her face?
Tia Career.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's way. Yeah, she's so much bigger than he is. Contractor, no, I will not bow to any sponsor.
Did you notice in the scene where this last episode was a little bit hard to keep track of because there were so many storylines.
So many things going on.
Really, I didn't hate it though. And I think it's just because of Selleck.
It kept humming along. Yeah. Where he's like fighting the stalker of
he's hunting
the
down the
ex-
stalker. Yeah.
I was confused.
Are they wearing?
I was
very confused. The stalker that like dresses somehow him. Coaxes him into? Yeah, they're wearing the same outfit.
Because
yeah.
when one of them gets stabbed, and I thought it was Tom Selleck.
Yeah,
I
think that's, meant the thing, to think, that's what they want you.
And
to
the
think.
Blood drips onto her. It's her scarf, right?
Yeah, yep. It's like right. embroidered with
her name. And then it keeps cutting to his face and he's kind of going...
Because I've killed.
And then he comes...
So he just killed a dude and now and he's like, oh, got to go to a wedding.
And then chucks his military uniform back on. That's how he announces he's back in the Navy.
Yeah, maybe he did the same
and then
thing.
The cliffhanger was not...
He didn't find out whether or not Rick
he walked
said,
away. He didn't call the cops again.
I also want to point out there, really, Rick's really mad that he's late.
Where is Thomas?
He'll be here.
He's not coming. He's covering up on the whole thing. He was really upset about that best man thing. That's why he said he didn't need a morning coat.
He turns up in the Navy uniform, but I just haven't... Everything. As he's walking in the aisle, you guys notice he had a haircut, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
As he's coming out, really shouldn't have stopped that haircut.
Yeah. The tussle with the guy with the knife was like 3 days earlier.
I could just say, I could have waited a day.
He had a sauce stain on his. He was eating a pie at the service station on his way to the wedding. Got some sauce on the...
Yeah, honestly, that director's cut of him trying to get to the wedding with a haircut.
On the Navy suit. While he was waiting for that to get dry clean, he figured he'd get his haircut.
Oh, fair. When you put it like that, now I sound like the asshole. And you guys also know my favorite part of the whole episode was very much clearly the dogs Apollo and Zeus with the with the wedding neckties. I was all in on that.
Yeah,
some well trained dogs. For sure.
Wish my dog was that well trained.
What do you reckon? I'm sure we can look it up. The age difference between Selleck and his grandfather in the episode.
I was thinking that as well.
Because I mean, the grandfather's older, but 40 years? I don't think it's
much. I reckon Selleck's got to be he's
like 35 years,
42, 43.
Yeah, he's early 40s. Like old Matt would be at least he'd probably be late 60s.
Yeah, that's pretty tight. Not in tight 70s. Gap for his grandfather.
Yeah, maybe early 70s. I mean, he's older, but
max 30 year age difference.
Why is it his grandfather, Max, not his dad?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, they were talking about obviously how his dad died and the grandfather didn't come to his son's funeral.
If I kept moving on, I could leave some of that pain behind. Oh, hell. Who am I kidding? I've always had the wanderlust.
I think that's what that word means.
What a shitty excuse.
Serious case of wanderlust. I can't go to...
I'm a shit father.
Can't go near funerals.
And a shit Otherwise, grandfather.
My wanderlust flares up. We get this horrible rash.
And a shit great grandfather.
I'm a triple threat.
Can cut a cigar.
Loves can a cigar. Cut a cigar.
Oh, have you ever heard the saying, slash will you now start using the saying?
A woman is only a woman, but a good cigar is a smoke.
Did your grandfather Selleck say that? Grandfather Selleck.
I probably won't use that, but...
It's like, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Yeah, is it's like you got some sort of utility?
I looked that up as well. There's like a whole story to it. It's like some old general said it. It's like a whole big thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounded like it sort of meant something, but I couldn't really figure it out.
We should probably have cigars right now, shouldn't we?
We should.
We definitely should.
You have a smoke, I think is what it is. Yeah. If you have a cigar, you have a smoke.
Okay. We should probably have a smoke right now. Speaking of... We should probably have some women right now.
That's just a woman.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought a woman was a smoke.
easy to...
You get it all confused.
Easy to cross your wires.
Speaking of sayings, just going back to the first episode... When
the amount of times I've tried to stick my dick in bonfires.
It burns. Going back to sayings, the... Captain Cooley in the first episode when he was laying into Selleck because he barged into his office and he was saying how he didn't like how Selleck didn't have to earn his rank.
Yes.
He was like...
You were connected. Who got the two of you appointed to Annapolis? Who got your Navy crosses approved? Who was going to get you your scrambled eggs in half the time it takes to earn them? I'll tell you who. Admiral Raleigh Cook, that's who.
What, that's not a saying?
Yeah, that's not a saying.
Scrambled eggs. Yeah. I took that literally, I'm like,
did he used to skip the line at the mess hall?
That's what I thought.
You earned your Cadbury cream egg in half.
That Captain Cooley was just all over the map. He's like, yeah, I'm not jealous of you. I earned my stripes. You got. But when he goes through that whole thing, it's like, well, you're very clearly jealous of him. You've just pointed out all the reasons you are.
This is textbook jealousy.
And then you call up a guy to go kill him.
Exactly. I can't picture what else it is.
Yeah, but not out of jealousy, out of spite.
That's spite.
Yeah, Cooley was not a good character. He's not very well fleshed out. But I think it's hard. I mean, Cooley probably was a really good character, but the actor that played him was so intimidated by Selleck's mustache.
I can't work with
it. Just broke this down. Everything broke down.
They had to rewrite his character to make him more
completely. Yeah,
more of a bud.
More of a bud.
More of a bud.
Is Selleck and an ensemble cast of buds?
I did some
it's a spin-off Selleck and the Bud.
Selleck and the Bud. Sounds like a good bit. Like a prog rock band.
Yeah, if it's like his Baywatch Nights sort of thing. Night, he just jams out with the Buds.
I did some extra research and looked.
He'd play lead sax, right?
Yeah,
he'd be lead singer slash sax.
Big dick and everyone with his big.
Hard to do those things at the same time.
Sing and play the sax. If anyone could do it, Selleck could do it. I was looking at some of the guest stars this show had. A lot of names I just didn't know. I think a lot of 80s TV people. But one that was really intriguing, which I thought would excite you, Jez, is your boy Bruce Forsyth was in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who's that? Bruce Forsyth is the... He was like a...
It's like a British soccer caller from the...
No, I thought he was a... I thought he was like a talk show host.
Oh, mate. I thought he was a sports caller. But isn't it...
You love Brucey. You know,
Toast of London?
Yeah,
and he's dating a girl that looks like Bruce Forsyth, his roommate is.
Oh, no. Yeah.
It's in the first episode. Ray Purchase gives this woman drastic facial surgery to look like Bruce Forsyth.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
Bruce Forsyth? Yeah, with the...
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's Bruce Forsyth.
Yeah, yeah, but we just pronounce it as Bruce Forsyth.
I like it.
That's right.
The thing is, I don't really...
And he had this the hand.
I don't really like Bruce Forsyth. I'm not even that pissed off.
He's got such a face, that guy.
It's very... It's like so character.
It's like a character. Like a carnival clown.
Oh, it's insane.
Bruce Forsyth.
He's like a Bruce Forsyth. Real life Monty Boosh character. Monty Boosh?
Monty Boosh.
The Mighty Boosh.
I just...
From Monty Python.
Having said that, but like back to Selleck, I feel like you can plug Selleck into anything and it gets better. Because I did read in this...
Friends.
Got better with
Friends
Selleck.
Friends was a popular show and then just plugged him in.
Tom Selleck. It was tanking in season 3. Plug in Selleck.
Was it actually?
I don't know. I probably not. It's quite popular.
Not anymore though.
Definitely not. And what happened? Selleck stopped being in it. So I think it was in the mid-80s. He's not in a lot of the episodes around the middle. So apparently a lot of the sub-characters like TC and Higgins have episodes, but it's more about them.
Oh, right.
Because Magnum's not in, because Selleck had a pretty busy movie schedule. Because I think he'd evolved past Magnum.
How do you do Magnum PI without Magnum? What is that?
It's a filler episode is what it is.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
But like filler seasons.
It's one where back mid-80s, you'd turn on the TV on a Wednesday night and you're like, finally, bit of Magnum P.I.
It's like,
had
it's like
a terrible day at work, can't wait to relax. Damn it, it's a filler one.
It's one of the ones without Magnum.
It's like with Welcome Back Cotter when just Cotter stopped being in it. Then it's just Welcome Back.
Welcome back. Yeah, normally we focus on rebooting, like tweaking this show, maybe doing a recast or something. But I feel like we need to just take Selleck and put him in everything else.
Well, yep. the more Selleck you can jam into things.
Seinfeld vision in
exactly. Selleck vision.
Yeah. Selleck vision.
Oh, man.
I'm honestly so shocked about how much I enjoyed Tom Selleck. Like, I cannot describe to you three and the listeners how much I enjoyed Tom Selleck.
I think you are about on par with my mum.
Well,
for she's Tom Selleck enthusiasm.
Well, yeah, she's like, look how long his legs are.
Funnily enough, on the way up here, my mum rang me because I speak to my mother four or five times a day.
About
the normal about a 30-year-old man would do. But I asked her about Tom Selleck and she's like, oh no, I didn't necessarily like him that much. I like the show though. And I'm like, what? But he is the show.
She really gravitated towards the episodes when he wasn't in
but
it.
But then she followed that up with, she's like, I preferred,
got him all on
VHS. I thought Richard Dean Anderson was more handsome.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Well, that's just buttering your toast.
No, I think I'm going to get a little torn. I think I'm back in the Selleck camp, man. I don't know what to do.
If it's going to tear the Cole family apart. Like,
I got too many father figures that I'm chasing.
If you're on a yacht, you... Both are like Richard Dean Anderson
and Selleck.
Both of them go overboard. You've only got one life preserver. Who do you throw it to?
Well, I guess if Selleck,
could have played
Colonel O'Neill in Stargate, which I think would have been awesome.
But I think you'll be fine chucking it to Selleck because you know MacGyver's gonna.
Yeah, he'll find a way out.
I would go the other way. Mm-hmm. You know, Selleck's a strong swimmer.
That's true.
And Selleck,
they're fine. They don't need him.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I don't even need to throw anything in. MacGyver would
throw. What they would do is if Morgan throws it with the rope attached, they'd wait. They'd grab the thing and then just yank you in,
and then they'd just cruise off in the sunset.
Yeah.
Damn it! You're right.
The dream team finally.
God, I hope that doesn't transpire.
Mothers are into Magnum P.I.
You'll probably outlive them both, so you've got that going.
No, I've got them covered there. Definitely on age. Both in their mid-70s now. Sorry, guys. I'll get there eventually. all right, look.
So we've obviously all been adoring Tom Selleck.
Mm.
Why didn't he have a bigger career?
I don't know.
Well, I think he had a pretty reasonable career. I mean, he's in movies.
I mean, he's the most charismatic actor of the 20th century.
I would agree.
That is a fact.
That is.
Well, what's his biggest movie roles? I know he was in the...
He was in an Australian one that I was just looking at.
Quickly Down Under?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know much about that, but I know it's a thing.
My mum says he's in some sort of show about some Catholic cops or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, he's in Blue Bloods, which is like a Boston police show.
I feel like Quickly Down Under wouldn't have aged well because I was reading the plot.
Yeah.
And he's an American sharpshooter who comes to Outback Australia to someone's farm. Because they need a sharpshooter to help them hunt something. And what they're hunting is Indigenous Australians.
Actually?
Yes.
Wait, you serious?
No, not really though.
But he refuses to. And then they...
Oh, okay.
There's a bit of it. But still, I don't know. Alan Rickman's
really the plot?
Yeah.
That is not good.
Alan Rickman's a...
What a bizarre
property owner
who's...
Alan Rickman.
I do kind of want Rickman.
I'm gonna have a look. Ooh. Kind of fascinating. He was also in Three Men and a Baby.
Which I would
100%
watch. Well, no, that's got Ted Danson and Steve Guttenberg. I remember that. I've seen that. I remember that the being dream pretty funny. Yeah.
Do you know who directed that movie?
Donald P. Belisario?
No.
Oh, was it like...
Alan Smithy?
No. Leonard Nimoy.
What?
Oh, what?
Get out of town.
Leonard Nimoy
directed Three Men and a Baby.
I never would have picked that.
Jeez.
One out of the box there.
Fair enough, Leonard.
Yeah.
Dipping your toe in.
What else did... So Nimoy...
Sick of being typecast, you know?
Selleck. So Three Men and a Baby, I remember that being reasonably...
That was pretty popular.
There was two of them.
And that was what, mid-80s to late
80s? No, that was early 90s.
87.
He's not in a lot.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he just didn't jump to Magnum. Film. And then when Magnum P.I. was over, it was like...
Was he in many other TV shows apart from Magnum P.I.? I mean, he was in that arc of Friends.
Yeah, no, not a lot.
I reckon he'd be pretty pissed about the whole Hasselhoff sort of thing. Because Hasselhoff really rode in on his coattails.
Well, he did. So he got inappropriate... Sorry. wrongfully marker corrected by Hasselhoff, yet he's vastly superior as an actor, and it's just like he's more appealing, I find it.
Absolutely.
Completely.
There is,
but they are similar.
He does play Thomas Magnum in an episode of Murder, She Wrote.
I reckon that's tasty. Hasselhoff has more sort of universal appeal.
Hasselhoff's more of like a goofball.
Yeah. The comedy roles, he's more clean cut. I don't know.
I feel like Selleck's more respectable, whereas Hasselhoff is happy for people to be laughing at him.
Yeah, he's happy to be the butt of a joke. Whereas I don't, obviously.
Tom Selleck probably just, lived in the Bahamas and smoked cigars. And
He's living the life.
Well, he made a lot of money.
Spent his time betting beautiful.
He would have
made
a fair bit.
Non-stop.
Didn't have time for your stupid movies.
That's pretty good. Just hanging out in Hawaii all the time.
Not bad.
Hawaii's a nice place. Oahu's a great island. There's a lot to do.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a dream.
Pokeballs. Drive around those dangerous roads on the edge of the
cliff. I'm gonna stop you there. We should move into reboots.
Okay. Can I jump in with my reboot first?
By all means.
Would you mind?
Okay.
The year is 2080. Society has crumbled. An artificial intelligence justice system is now judge, jury, and executioner in the new hit show, Magnum AI. So, essentially, the crux of the show is that...
It's Judge Dredd.
It's kind of Judge... All of the cops are now all cyborgs. And we've got one who's Magnum AI. That's your lead. And he's got like faulty programming. And so he sort of like realizes all of the injustice that's going on and has to sort of like take out the rest of the force from the inside.
A la iRobot.
Obviously, he's voiced by Tom Selleck. I was thinking about...
Voiced? He's not... It's not like Tom Selleck.
It's sort of wrapped in tinfoil.
Are
they androidish or...
Are they how human are they?
Well, I was tossing up on whether to just kind of make him a gigantic anthropomorphic gun.
Oh, okay.
With a mustache.
With a mustache. Yeah, good.
That sort of thing.
I mean, in 2080, it's all utility. You gotta be able to tell. You don't need to...
Yeah.
Is this live action?
You're wasting
cartoon?
It on... This is live action sure. For sure. But yeah, sort of a bit of an 80s vaporwave kind of feel.
If you can get some short shorts on that giant anthropomorphic gun.
True.
Need a mustache.
You need to somehow be
around the trigger.
You need to be attracted to it. That's sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
All right, it's going to be a hit in America.
Giant fucking gun.
They fetishize guns.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, geez. Yeah, that'd send them over the edge. Giant Tom Selleck gun. A country's on the knife edge as it is.
They will vote for it for president.
But yes,
2080 Selleck gun AI. For president.
Selleck gun.
But yeah, I could not go past Magnum AI.
That's fantastic.
It's too good. Anyway, that's it. That's literally it.
That's it. Mine's not that much better. Right. Mine's actually really, really... It's actually... Mine's one of those really half-baked ones. But basically, I wanted to... recast this in Stockholm and call it Magnus PI. We just had a Swedish version of this show.
He's blonde?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Blonde chess hair?
Blonde.
A lot less beach scenes.
Yeah, it's a lot less beach. Yeah. No. He still wears a short shorts everywhere. Right, despite the weather. I only have Forte to play.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Will Forte
renowned
playing
Scandinavian
Magnus
actor.
Magnus PI. Yeah.
Well, the only thing that I kind of... Again, not very well fleshed out, but I think this would have probably done well as a spin-off rather than them trying to reboot it. They could have done Magnum GI and just done his time in Vietnam.
Prequel. Yeah, that would be cool, actually.
Magnum GI, that works.
Yeah.
Magnum GI, that's actually really good. Legs. Damn it, Chiz. Well, it sucks.
I shot my wad on the Magnum PI First Blood Part 2.
And now you have something of a mess on your hands.
Yeah. It's real messy. Solid. I mean, you can just plug Selleck into anything.
You really can.
That's the real takeaway, is we just do Selleck Vision.
Yeah.
Selleck Vision.
Just superimpose him into anything.
I'm in on Selleck Vision.
Buy some shares.
I also think you could reboot him as just an Instagram filter.
He just crops up in your photos?
So you kind of have... No, you just... It's just a moustache and then also...
Like a Groucho Marx.
Yeah, but puts a bit of like 80s kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Some chest hair on there as well.
Put some chest hair on there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Bit of an 80s vibe to the background. 80s beach thing.
Photos from my Hawaiian holiday.
Yeah.
Put a
moustache on you.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be a bit of fun.
You can definitely plug Tom Selleck into an IMDb list.
Ooh.
That is for sure. So,
what do we got?
I hope you're ready to hear about some hot young things in Hollywood, because we've got a list from Paul with six L's. Mm. Most handsome actors, newer, not older actors. Here's my list of the best looking actors in recent times.
By newer, he means older.
You want to hear some of these hot young things? Number one, Pierce Brosnan. Number two, Mel Gibson.
All new.
Number three, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, hello.
Oh, our man Mark Harmon from NCIS.
I didn't know IMDb lists could be made in 1980.
This is just a list that they had on, you know.
They had it written down.
Yeah, had it written down. Stumbled across it.
It was on the fridge for years.
Cleaning out the garage. Yeah.
But finally made the jump to IMDb.
Back to back, we got Richard Dean Anderson and Tom Selleck.
Ooh. Oh, do we really?
We do.
Oh,
we do.
Beautiful. The dream team.
So the youngest person on this list is...
Dick Van Dyke.
46 years old.
This person's going to be...
Mark Paul 70, right? Gosselaar, who's in a bunch of shitty TV shows, but... does play Zach in the reboot of Saved by the Bell.
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Zach Moss. So yeah, he was maybe a hot young thing at one point.
Mm. So, yeah, the newest actor they could find...
never a hot young.
The newest actor they could find was 46 years old. But I will tell you, very last on this list, number 58, is your man Jeremy Gil Bellows.
Hey.
Here we go.
It's the smut king is back. He's
one all roads lead to Gil now.
He's the 58th most handsome new actor.
When was this list made?
Tell me this person.
No. Tell me it was updated the day I found it.
Oh,
you're kidding. That's a few days ago.
Yeah.
Yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Tell me there's an equivalent list of older people.
Like, I mean, Gil's not too bad when he doesn't sort of, you know, the modern iteration of Gil Bellows with the moustache and like the creepy Ron Jeremy hair.
That's the better version.
No, I'm saying prior to that he was okay, but I wouldn't put him in the most handsome
list. In Shawshank Redemption, he's quite handsome.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then...
Tommy or whatever. What's his name?
Tommy? It's not Billy. We know that.
Tommy Williams.
Yeah.
Tommy Williams.
Billy Thomas.
This is a strange list. So the author of this list has to be...
80s.
What? 70, 80 years old?
Yeah.
If they're new young things.
Judging by where they know all these people from, they haven't watched that much stuff recently. It's a lot of Melrose Place, a lot of Magnum P.I.
I loved Pierce Brosnan in Dante's Inferno.
Dante's Peak.
Dante's Inferno is the...
I don't know what Dante's Inferno is. Like sounds like a porno.
It's a book.
Ah, right.
Starring Pierce Brosnan.
Levels of Hell.
I'm just plugging Tom Selleck's name into IMDb. It's looked like he was in like a TV movie series called about with a character called Jesse Stone.
Yeah, God, it looks really bad.
Yeah, it looks really ordinary.
A budget of like $8.
It's like you just give me a character and I'll play it.
Yeah,
That's close to me.
How the mighty have fallen.
Well, he's made his money.
Doesn't mean he has to star in bad things.
I don't. They might be good. Okay,
It's
got Selleck. Yeah. They're good.
Okay, Selleck's good.
We know we can plug Selleck into any. We now know if we've not worked anything else out of the last hour, we know that you can put Tom Selleck in. You're away. Gold Coast Suns. They should get Tom Selleck as their coach.
Plug him into this podcast.
Boom.
We'd be top of the charts.
Oh boy.
Exactly.
You wouldn't even know
the incomplete Selleck.
The incomplete Selleck's. Can we change the name of the podcast? The incomplete Selleck's.
We're all on our journey to becoming full Selleck's.
Full Selleck's.
I sure am.
You are. We got to get you Selleck'd up.
Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Can't believe you got this far without it.
Oh, I know.
Would you watch any more Magnum P.I.?
I would.
Probably would.
I would.
I'm going to be honest.
This might be the first show where I can confidently say...
59 episodes.
Seeing the last episode hasn't ruined it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back and just probably enjoy...
Yep.
Just one here and there.
A bit of the mag.
Yep.
Yeah.
I might even go home and watch the second part of the...
I want to see it.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. It's not on any of the streaming services.
It's really hard to get.
It's hard to find, yeah.
Really hard to get. It's okay in the US, but
you
not
could probably,
here.
Can you probably get it from the Apple Store?
No, not even.
Can you write to Tom Selleck directly?
I think you can, and he'll Zoom conference you for a live reenactment of the show for all of his scenes.
He'll write synopses of each episode on napkins and send them to you.
It's good enough for me.
Thanks, Dad.
And each one will be used to wrap up a single moustache hair. And
then you plant them.
No, the magazines and subscriptions that you did, you know, like 20 years ago, they were really popular. It's like, you know, you can build the HMS, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
HMS, each week you get a new part. Build your own Tom Selleck moustache.
It's a real ship of Theseus sort of.
Yeah, each edition will give you a new moustache hair.
And you sort of stick it on your prosthetic and then...
No, you just...
After 10,000 issues, and you've got a moustache.
Ready to...
How many hairs do you reckon there are in a moustache? In Tom Selleck's moustache? Individual hairs.
That is a really weird question. I don't think I can answer.
1,300?
This is like this is like one of those like guess the jelly beans in the jar sort of thing. If you can guess it, over you 1,000. Get his moustache.
You win Selleck.
Mine's sitting at... I won't count mine on two hands. I'd be around 50. So I reckon he's pushing 1,000.
Yeah, comfortably. Probably more. I'm going to say 2,000.
Like a thread count.
Thousand.
I wonder if it's soft.
Egyptian cotton.
Or if it's rough, like the rough side of a sponge.
I reckon it can go either.
Not too hard.
Like a soft side of the sponge.
What if he wants it?
Depends on the mood. Depends on the mood he's in. If you get him real revved up.
You can go from hard to soft.
Oh, I'm sure he can. Alrighty. Well, look, I think let's take this select chat offline, but because I could talk about him all day. But... guys, this was fun. If you could
good
go,
suggestion, Paul.
It was a great suggestion.
Thanks, Paul.
Please, for the listeners out there, jump onto our website, throw us another suggestion. You might get another Selleck banger like this, I hope. Otherwise, jump into your...
Even though we've just...
Done it. I'm probably not... We'll explain
to the people that his IMDb is very thin.
Yeah.
We can do that episode if of the she wrote that he's
if you
in.
Want a Blue Bloods...
We can do Blue Bloods. I think it's over yet, but we'll look into it. If you can also jump on your podcasting service and rate and review, it goes a long way to getting us out there further. In the meantime, thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you, Jez.
Thank you.